Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is David Levitt, your host from SYM Radio. SYM Radio is helping raise awareness to missing persons, parental stranger abductions, and human trafficking through our partners. We also raise awareness that people with disabilities can do whatever they set their mind to through the love of God and Christ. And we're proud to be an affiliate with Carson's Corner, and you're listening to Carson's Corner with Jay Ray and Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio and also at symradio.com/live. Welcome back to the second edition of the of Carson's Corner here on Blog Talk Radio. And our next topic is going to be on April, which is National Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. And we'll be talking with TeamStrick, which is a nonprofit organization that was started as a way to support actress, now advocate, Katie Strickland, and her efforts with the Phenomenal Rain Rape Abuse Incest National Network. Their goal is to spread awareness, raise funds for RAIN, and to get survivors the help they rightfully need and deserve. One of the very first things you learn in a sexual assault awareness training program is there is only one person who has that ability to stop a rape or a violent attack, and that is the person committing the act. And tonight we're going to be talking with Natasha Hagen about her sexual awareness program and the TeamStrick Online Awareness Day coming this Saturday, April 20th, on Facebook. And again, welcome, Natasha. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking the time out this evening to be able to actually talk with us about this online awareness and what you're doing with your advocacy and RAIN. The interview from a previous show that you've done. What was that with? What was the name of the group again?
With Patricia McKnight. Yeah, she does Dream Catchers.
Okay, yes, Dream Catchers for abused children, yes. can you tell me a little bit about basically your story? I mean, you're a survivor of sexual assault.
Yeah, sexual assault and rape.
Okay.
But two occasions, yeah. So basically, when I was 7 to 8, I was sexually assaulted by my step-granddad a few times, and clearly I was a child, so you kind of block it out after a while, and it was only until I got into my teens where I started getting the effects. And, yeah, but I didn't report that one until I was 20.
Okay.
And yeah, the reason why is because I also was raped at the age of 22, 20 as well. And that's why it made me want to come forward about the sexual assault. So, yeah, so I'm a survivor of both.
Okay, all right. Now, when this happened, did anybody call the police? Did anybody make a report? Or is it something that you just didn't bother saying and coming out, and now you're just starting to come out about this, or...?
Is this about the sexual assault or the rape one?
The rape one.
That one there, well, I was out in town. I had a few drinks with my friends, and then I got into a fight with one of them, so I kind of went my own way. And I mean, I wasn't drunk. I sobered out really fast. And So when I woke up in the morning, I have to realize what happened. I didn't report it or anything because I didn't think anyone would believe me because, you know, if you've been sexually assaulted, you know, if it happens again and in a similar situation, you know, what, you know, I was running through my head was that, oh, why would they believe me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I didn't report it at the time. I waited a bit. And, yeah, so when I did come forward about my sexual assault, when I reported that one, I was going to report the rape, but because it was a stranger and I couldn't remember what he exactly looked like or anything like that,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I, and after being, you know, fully investigated with the child abuse and going through all the details, different things, from the color of my shirt to where I was standing, sitting, you know. And this was, and I was only 7 to 8 back when it happened, and you know, I was reporting when I was 20. So it was quite hard. So I didn't report the other one as such. No, but I kind of wish they had.
Yeah. It's, I mean, and I'm sure it's something. I mean, I haven't experienced it, and I haven't known anybody who has experienced this, but it must be a very hard thing to be able to keep inside and not be able to tell anybody about this until later on.
Right, and that's what happened with my child abuse. You know, like, as a child, I got a learning problem because apparently what happened is that from the age of 7 to 8, I lost the whole year of learning because, you know, that stuff was happening to me. You're kind of, apparently, as a child, you kind of stop learning, you don't function as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I learned, when I was in the last year of high school, that I had a reading level of a 7 to 8 year old, it kind of made sense. Well, 7 to 8, I was sexually assaulted, and I was being sexually assaulted. So to link those two, I think, you know, like, in, I was a child, you know, and, I was, and later on, as I was, you know, if you had my first boyfriend, that kind of thing, that's when I noticed the triggers. Like, that's when I noticed I had intimacy issues from, you know, being sexually assaulted, those kind of things. And
yes.
I didn't find those out until later on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's quite hard, but yeah.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I like to stress this. I mean, that is one of the things. I mean, it when you're a young child and you're sexually assaulted, it can cause throughout the years. It can cause learning disabilities, and it can cause problems to where. And these are the signs that you need to look out for. In a child, or you know, in a teenager, if
right.
is these problems here.
Right.
So
when a child goes all quiet, it, you know, and things don't seem right, that's when you go to worry. Because usually children are quite chatty, you know, bubbly little kids. But you know, yeah. So, and I had a problem with comprehension, reading throughout my childhood after that, and you know, no one picked it up until I was, you know, last year of school. Well, that's a bit late, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, it was just a comparison that I noticed.
Oh. Well, you've come a long way.
You
really have.
I'm now 25.
That's good. Okay, now you have a group. It's called Team Strick.
Right.
And it's can you tell me a little bit about that group?
Yeah, sure. Well, we, like you said, we're a movement group, non-profit organization type thing. And basically, we're just a group of people who were in, we found out about the private practice, the ABC TV shows. It's just in Cancel, but actually it ran for 6 years. But anyway, they did a rape storyline, and Katie Strickland, she's now a rain advocate, by the way. She was playing the main role, and she was playing the victim, the sexual assault victim.
Mm-hmm.
And through her storyline, that's how I know me and quite a few others, but because I started it with a couple other people, we actually were inspired by what she did. So when this is actually quite interesting because when I say come forward, when I was 20. Reporting these incidents for my sexual assault and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I don't call that coming forward for me. For me, coming forward was when, in 2010, when I found Rain and got my help, because it was when I accepted what happened to me and tried to move on and get help. Because back then, 20, I was just reporting it. I didn't actually do anything about it. I just reported it and left it because it was too much. So in 2010, when I was, how old was I, 23, almost 23, and that's when I started coming forward. And anyway, I was Team Strick started because of her efforts with Rain that she did. She basically had to research right into her role, and she went out, you know, above and beyond what she had to do, and she worked with real survivors. She worked with Rain along the whole way, and from that, I got my help. Through, you know, because I used the Rain hotline, but it was just through that we all came together and we were all thinking, now she's helped us, you know, come forward, deal with it and get help. What can we do to say thank you? And that was how it started. It was just a simple thank you, And from there on, it's been, you know, like in all my spare time, I spend doing, like, Team Strict stuff. And, yeah, and it's actually quite healing for me, too. Like, if we're doing something, like, I do a lot of writing now. I'm actually doing articles for Angela Shelton's website, survival website, and getting to interview these people and stuff. It's actually quite helpful for me. Like, it's kind of a healing process.
Yep.
And that's what a lot of us are doing. So basically, we're just a big group of survivors and supporters who just have been inspired by Kenny Shipson's efforts with Rain. And now we're you know, we don't just support Rain now, we support other groups. And that's pretty much why we're doing Team Strict Online Awareness Day, because we just took, there was one time when there was a bit of fighting going on with the Joyful Heart Foundation, you know, supporters with the SCU supporters, because, you know, they had Mike Tyson on the show and a big argument about if he should or shouldn't be on there and stuff like that. And I was thinking about it, like, why do people have to fight about this kind of thing? It should be, you know, like, everyone coming together. So that's why Online Awareness Day is for everyone to come together and just to support, you know, and it doesn't matter which group you're from, it's just all about coming together and showing awareness, because there's so many survivors out there with no voice. Like, I was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Was scared to come forward, but they just need some kind of, you know, motivational thing. So that's why we do, like, quotation on images, to, you know, it's just, we just do a lot of different things.
Oh, that's good. That's good. What could you go into the statistics on the rape? I mean, let me try to rephrase this question.
You mean like how it's like one in four women get
evicted? Yes, yes, yes. The victims and the sexual assault statistics.
Yeah, like, I mean, every 2 minutes someone in the U.S. is sexually assaulted. Now, it's, yeah, I mean, that's happening all the time. That's not just happening in the U.S. That's happening everywhere. Even when where I'm from. I'm from New Zealand. I'm like, when we are from one of the littlest places in the world. And we are having them all the time, too. But the thing is with us compared to you guys is that our ones are not displayed on TV. Or the media or anything. We don't hear about it, which is really sad, because they're happening all the time. And it's because we don't have awareness days, we don't have awareness months, and we don't have any ads or PSAs to show awareness of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's why our statistics are going to be different to where you are.
Yes.
Because of that. And, you know, it's pretty shocking, you know, every 10 minutes someone in the U.S. is...
That is very shocking.
It's pretty shocking.
It is very shocking.
And, like, 80% are under 30, and 44% of victims are under 18, you know. Those are big percentages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the tragic thing is that, yes, there are a lot, and yes, there are a lot of women being attacked. We only hear about that. But the men, too, they're getting attacked, too, and we don't hear about them as much. And, it's, you know, I don't know.
Now, most is now these assaults, these sexual assaults, are they are committed more by someone who's known to the victim, or unknown, or a stranger?
Generally, well, I'm on the experience thing. I'm just so full of statistics I read and stuff. But generally, most people who are attacked generally know the person. Somewhere along the line, usually there's a lot of family members, unfortunately, are the ones that are doing this.
Yes.
And it's very, and when it is a family member, that's when the survivor or the victim, you know, I say survivor, I don't call victims victims.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that don't speak out, I personally think, because I'm obviously one of them, because they know the person, and they're so worried about it's affecting their whole family, and they always blame themselves. They think, well, obviously, I made it happen type of situation, when it's clearly not the survivor, not the survivor's fault at all. And, yeah, I mean, it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're running a campaign, doing a contest?
Right, we actually had two going. We had our own one going, but we're still doing it. It's Rain sell merchandise, like T-shirts, bands for Rain, wristbands, things like that to show awareness. So basically quite a few of us have been buying, you know, something little. You can, they start from like, you know, you can buy a band for Rain for only $3, you know. They're not very expensive, and the money goes towards helping people on the hotline.
That's
and
good.
Basically, we're all going to be wearing them on April 20 on Saturday to show our awareness that, you know, we're not defeated, and that, because especially in public, you know, like everyone's so scared to show awareness. So that's what we're doing. And that's for the Gear It Up for Rain campaign we're doing. That's all the people who've got Rain merchandise that we're doing. But the other one is a new one. The fashion designer Paige, her Paige Adams Gala, her line Paige Denim, they're joining us. They are giving away a pair of styled jeans, and they're very funky ones, to a person who is tweeting the hashtag Paige Rain. So it's hashtag PAIGERAINN, and basically WWE champion wrestler Mike Mick Foley, he's going to be picking the winner. He's a big supporter of Rain. He's a Rain celebrity advocate and someone I've met a couple of times before, and he's very happy to pick the winner for us. So,
well, that's great.
Yeah, that's ending tomorrow on Friday. That's when the competition ends. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And, of course, Team Awareness Online Day is Saturday, April 20th, and that runs from, when does it start, 7, what time does it start in the morning?
It's a whole day event, so it starts from when you wake up to whenever you go to bed.
and it's around the world.
Right.
Yes.
No matter where you are, so anyone can participate, and it's going to be a great day, and you can find the link on our website, on our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/TeamStrickSupportsRain. So that's TeamStrickSupportsRain. You'll have to ask. Because it's a long one. That's our Facebook page anyway, because Team Strick was already taken on Facebook, so we had to make our own one.
Yes.
If you go to the event part of that page, you'll see our link.
Yes, and you can also go to Bob Carson's Facebook page.
Right.
And we'll have a link here in the show in the archives for people to go to that Facebook page in the event. And again, if people are having a hard time understanding Tarsha's accent, again, that was facebook.com/TeamStrick. That's TeamStrick. Supports, SupportsRain, RainNN. And of course, her website is teamstrick.net. And you can also go to the rain.org. That's RainNN.org website to get all of the statistics on sexual assault and rape. Now, one more question: is there anything that you would like to say to the listeners on how they can actually raise awareness and helping? I mean, they can volunteer. How do they go about volunteering?
Okay, now the best thing to do is I'm one of them. We're called Rainmakers. Now, it's not a made up thing; it's an actual thing. Basically, it's to help raise money, because basically all the volunteers, it's volunteer work. It's for the hotline, though, because they just getting calls all the time. They've had over 2 million calls already, but I'm actually going to ask them that one day is how many calls they get. But basically, for every 40, I think it was $43, I'm not too sure, it might have changed, but last time I heard, for every $43, that's helping one person on the hotline. And, yeah, so basically you can be a rainmaker, and all you got to do is if you go to rainmakers.rain.org, you can just sign up. And
okay.
It's that easy. Just go rainmakers.rain.org and just go push the Start a Rainmaker page and you go from there. That easy.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you again, Natasha, for joining us and coming on the show to talk about this Awareness Day and about rain and your organization.
No problem.
And again, thanks again. You have a good time.
You too.
All right.
Okay, that was Natasha Hagen of Team Strick. And I'm really, really sorry about if there's been any technical glitches here with the show. I lost my signal with the cell phone, and I had to call back in. We have 5 minutes left to the show, and I want to say that Rain needs your help and with volunteers and donations that go to the crisis line. I'm going to go ahead and play this, and I will get some more information and some links to the websites that you can visit.
Hi, I'm Katie Strickland from ABC's Private Practice. In recent months, I've been working with Rain on a storyline involving my character Charlotte King's sexual assault. My work with Rain has been one of the most important things I've ever done. It shed light on the difficulties that many people face every day. Rain provides a critical service to more and more victims each year. But Rain needs our help in order to sustain this critical service. So I'm asking you to join me this holiday season. Give what you can. A little goes a long way.
And yes, a little does go a long way. Now, the purpose of the campaign is to have the supporters for Rain buy Rain merchandise from the Rain store. And you can get that merchandise to wear if you'd like today, and that is http://rainstore.mybigcommerce.com/indexphp. And they ask that you wear this on April 20th to support and join the, and you can also support and join the online event at www.facebook.com/events 513-631-0853-482. This is an audio event, and it will be held online. And it is a day where all us advocates from different groups, foundations, advocacy organizations, and individuals come together to spread hope to the others through online campaigns of their own. Okay, so 3 minutes left. And I am going to go ahead and put all of these links on my Facebook. And that is facebook.com/N=Nancy, D=Dog, S=Sam, M=Mary, A=Apple, N=Nancy, 6-4. And you can get all the links to their websites, to Team Strick, to Rain, and how you can become a volunteer. All those links will be on the Facebook page. And I want to say also our prayers and thoughts go out to the victims and the families of this tragic event that happened in Boston for the Boston Marathon. And as of 8:40 last night, the second suspect was captured and he is in custody. Now, let's just hope that some justice can be served for all these families, and it's a pretty speedy trial process to have this person, and I hope he gets the death penalty. That's my opinion. They had no consideration for life at all and any of the people that were there. I do not understand why this was done at all. But again, I'd like to say, my thoughts and prayers. We are going to go ahead and tell you off about Glendine Grant's group.
My name is Glendine, and I'm an abolitionist. I live in Kamloops, British Columbia, in Western Canada. My daughter, Jessie Foster, is an international endangered missing person and the victim of human trafficking. Jesse went missing March 29, 2006, almost 6 years ago. Jesse's disappearance has prompted me to take action against the crime of human trafficking. Her case has been told in hundreds of newspaper articles, in dozens of radio and TV and magazine interviews, in documentaries, and in many books. I write several blogs talking about human trafficking, and I am active on many social networking sites. I even now have my own human trafficking awareness and education blog talk radio show. I also give presentations on human trafficking. I give awareness presentations at different events, launches of organizations, fundraisers, high schools, and most recently at a university. In November of 2010, I was given the honor of being the Hope Giver for Salvation Army Canada. Hope Giver is where you were once without hope and you now give hope to others. And I was working with Canada Fights Human Trafficking, and I'm also on the board of advisors for the Frederick Douglass Family Foundation. Frederick Douglass is one of the most well-known abolitionists in history. There are many other organizations that I work with. I've spoken at different events alongside a Member of Parliament here in Canada, Joy Smith, author Professor Benjamin Perrin, and Miss Canada Tara Tang. They are all abolitionists, and they all are working together with each other and with myself and others to combat this crime. I know that my actions have helped to fight human trafficking. I've seen it in results of what I do. Parents and young women have come up to me. They've spoken to me of issues similar to Jesse's case. They seem to be strange, and now they feel as if they were signs of possible human trafficking. I've also been told several times that I have helped them or someone they love to perhaps not become a victim. Students, male and female, come up to me at high schools. They tell me they'll never forget Jesse, that they are so grateful now to be informed about human trafficking, and I get hugs. Others can help me in this movement by joining MAF, Mothers Against Trafficking Humans, on Facebook. And I would like everybody to become informed, to stay informed and inform others, and to become an abolitionist. Thank you.